Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, I'm Jeff Glenn. I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's a privilege for me to go through the Word with you each week. And this week, we are taking a look at Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we're in the last chapter here as Paul's closing up his final thoughts and putting emphasis on things that he wants this church to receive. So We've seen his encouragement to this church at Philippi to intervene and help out these two women who are involved in a conflict. He's asking and encouraging the church to step in, help them get this thing resolved. So he's been giving some encouragement for them to do that, mainly to keep the unity, right, as the goal of the church stepping in and helping them resolve this conflict. He says to do so by rejoicing in the Lord through conflict and letting their gentleness be known, and to not worry about anything, but rather to pray to God with thanksgiving and petitioning Him for their needs. And so we can take that same encouragement, right? We can also rejoice in the Lord through our times of conflict, and we can be gentle and let people know our gentleness and not worry about anything and pray to God in the same way, right, with thanksgiving, even though we might be experiencing some difficulties in our life, and petitioning the Lord for those things that we need, right? So Paul continues in his closing thoughts here that will help the church and then us guide our conflict resolution journey. So we see that in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, where he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So first, let's take a look here at a word that, depending upon what context and what place you're looking at it, can have different practical meanings to different people. So in order that we understand its meaning, we need to come to an understanding of what this word means here so we can apply it properly, right? So the word, and it's really a concept, really, is meditate. What is this word here? When Paul's asking us to meditate on these things, right? He's asking us to meditate on the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely. Meditate on those things that are of good report. Meditate on the virtuous things and those things that are praiseworthy. Meditate on those. So what does it mean to meditate, right? And that will inform our response to this. How do we think about these verses? Are we, meditate? Are we supposed to sit cross-legged, right, in a darkened room with some incense burning? No, right? In this case, biblical meditation, or let's do this. Let me ask you a question. It's a question that I ask my class of 9th and 10th graders in my Bible class that I teach here at the school. And I asked them, I said, "How many stomachs does a cow have?" So imagine if I could see your face, it would be just as theirs was. You know, like what does this have to do with Bible class and meditation, right? Well, as Paul would say, very much and in every way, right? So you see, a cow has several stomachs or several parts of their stomach. And, to be honest, in class, we never really learned how many stomachs a cow has because the exact number of stomachs wasn't the issue. So a cow's digestive system, which was the point of the illustration, has multiple chambers or stomachs, and the process of digestion involves a process called rumination. And so they eat the hay or silage or whatever it is, and then they chew it and kind of swallow it, and a while later they belch it back up and start chewing on it some more. So from the first part of the digestive system tract, then they slowly chew this partially digested, it's called cud, and they chew it over and over again before finally swallowing it. And so again, like we learned, is rumination is the process. But rumination has two meanings, And one is related to cows and their cud and their digestive system. And the other is related to meditation. And so the act of rumination in cattle is this act of, you know, regurgitating the food and chewing it over and over again. But in philosophical terms, the act of rumination is a deep or considered thought about something. And so that is the same as biblical meditation. We want to think deeply about the things, and this is what Paul is listing for us here, right? So we should take the time to deeply consider these things that Paul is valuing over the cause of the conflict, right? So it isn't about the cause of the conflict. While that is important, we need to name sin and forgive named sin. But that isn't the main point, right? The main point here is what Paul is getting at is in the issue of unity, we want to think deeply and consider those things that are true, right? Which is the reality of the situation, right? What is God? How does God view this situation, right? That's what's important as we think deeply about what is the truth of the situation, not what the perception is based on what we might have heard or even our own point of view, but what is the truth about this situation? And then what is noble? Some translations translate that word honest, right? So what is honest? Same idea, right? This refers to character. So what is the act, or who is the one committing the act or accused, right? So here's what we see is Paul is writing to this church that he didn't have any firsthand knowledge of the situation, yet he's writing to them to step in and help resolve it. So he's only seeing that there's this accusation of some kind of wrongdoing that's put them at odds. So it's in keeping with what we know of that person, right? Or actually, we ask that question, is what I've heard about this person and their character, is that what is in keeping with their character, right? Is that honest? Is that true or noble, right? And then we see what is just. So that is, in a wider sense, like what is upright or righteous or virtuous or, you know, kind of keeping the commands of God, right? And then in a narrow sense of just, like we render to each one his due, right? In a kind of a judicial sense, right? We pass the best judgment on others, whether it's expressed in words or shown by the manner in which we deal with them, right? So to put it this way, we consider the conflict and what was done. Was it an offense to God? And then judging with the same measure, right? So what was done and who was it done by? And we judge with the same measure, not applying too severe of a judgment or consequence and not applying a too lenient consequence or judgment, right? So within the context of the character of the person and the actual offense, right? So then we come to what is pure, right? So this is virtue. You know, pure, virtuous, praiseworthy. This is what Paul ends this section with here. And all of these have the idea of in this conflict, there's positive, right? Or there's a broader implication of the context of what's gone on. And we don't let one action cause us to paint someone or the situation as completely bad, right? It's never completely black or white. So the word or deed may have caused offense, and indeed the reaction may have worsened or deepened the offense. But as we consider how to resolve the conflict, it's important to be very considerate of separating our emotions and looking at the reality of the situation in order to resolve the situation, right? To work towards unity. And so we see that in verse 9, Paul is offering himself as a model. He says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So we have his letter here imploring them to intervene and to help reunite these two. So he doesn't want them to get bogged down in the negativity, rehashing the argument or the details, but rather focusing on the positive, right? And so the positive, the reality is, as he's mentioned before, these are fellow workers of the gospel. These are believers in Jesus Christ, and they have come to odds. So the important thing is that they're believers in Jesus Christ. They need to be judged according to that, right? In another place, we see that we don't judge others by their sin. We judge them by their position in Christ, because that's what we would expect, right? None of us are perfect. We don't always do things that are perfect. But when we fail, it's nice to have someone come alongside of us in a spirit of unity to restore us, correct? And so, as we receive this encouragement, I think the most comforting reality and the good thing that we can look to here is that God is with us and he's for us. And so I hope that's encouraging for you today. Have a blessed week.